Thanks, Taylor. Let's just quickly go to the next presentation. This is going to be about buildings and infrastructure. Brian Ambrett from Hannah Pingree's office will be leading us through a presentation somewhat similar to what Taylor just provided. So Brian, why don't you take it away?
Thank you, David, and good morning to everyone. My name is Brian Ambrett. I'm the Climate Resilience Coordinator in the Governor's Office of Policy Innovation in the Future. The modernized Maine's building strategy has seven action areas, which include transitioning to cleaner heating and cooling systems in buildings, primarily through electric heat pumps, improving new buildings through progressively more efficient building codes, weatherizing existing buildings in Maine, which has some of the oldest housing stock in the country, using public dollars to demonstrate building efficiency benefits, requiring renewable fuels like biodiesel and renewable natural gas to make up a percentage of heating fuel sales, promoting Maine's climate-friendly forest products in building construction, and lastly, from the public health subgroup, encouraging Maine's hospitals to become carbon neutral. I'm going to discuss the first four of these in more detail in a moment, so let me say a few things briefly about the others. You will see on the next slide that the renewable fuel standard is an important tool to consider for reaching our 2030 emissions goals. However, just 51% of survey respondents deemed a renewable fuel standard for heating a great fit. And 13% of respondents thought it was not a good fit, among one of the strongest unfavorable responses for any working group strategy. So we clearly have work to do to communicate the benefits and the feasibility of a renewable fuel standard. The forest products sector in Maine is important, both economically and for reaching our climate goals. By promoting building products like mass timber and wood fiber insulation, not only are we supporting jobs and local economies in rural areas, we can store carbon in our buildings for decades to come as well. Next slide. The graph on the right shows the modeling results of four potential pathways for reducing greenhouse gases in the building sector. The blue line shows our baseline with current policies. That means fulfilling the state's goal of 100,000 heat pumps by 2030. So that by 2050, 40% of households have heat pumps or legacy electric resistance heat. The baseline assumes the current renewable portfolio standard for electricity generation, and it assumes a current level of effort on weatherization that yields about 2% annual improvements across Maine's building stock. The yellow line represents a high electrification scenario, such that by 2050, 90% of homes and 90% of commercial heating loads are electrified via heat pumps. The red scenario adds aggressive weatherization. It includes the same 90% targets for electrification of heating, but it increases the level of effort on weatherizing existing buildings and models a 20% reduction in space heat energy requirements by 2050. You'll notice that this option does not diverge much from the yellow line, because weatherization takes a long time for the carbon benefits to accumulate. However, we'll see in a moment that weatherization has important additional benefits for cost savings and comfort. The green scenario assumes a moderate electrification where about 60 or 70% of the statewide heating load is electrified versus 90% in the two previous scenarios. And it assumes a baseline weatherization improvements of about 2% per year. It replaces fossil fuels with biofuels and renewable natural gas for the remaining heating load across the state. If implemented quickly and aggressively, this option provides greater emissions reductions early in the pathway, as shown by the divergence of the green line from the yellow and the red during the middle years of 2025 to 2035. The caveat is that we would still need to go pretty hard on heat pumps to get to that 60 to 70% target for electrification of heating loads. Next slide. To give you an idea of the new information added by the economic studies and public engagement process this summer, we'll look at three of the actions. Transitioning to cleaner heating via electrification and heat pumps comes with several important benefits. Despite marginally higher upfront costs, both space heating and water heating by heat pumps have net lifetime savings measured in the thousands of dollars. Heat pumps eliminate high amounts of greenhouse gases over their lifetime, and the monetized benefits outweigh the costs. There are already incentive programs in place through Efficiency Maine that can be turbocharged to meet the 60 or 90% targets. Next slide. With benefits like these, it is easy to understand why heat pumps were very popular among people who responded to the building survey. However, both Efficiency Maine and the buildings work group noted the importance of ensuring that these benefits are accessible to low and moderate income households. Efficiency Maine already allocates a portion of its heat pump funding specifically for low-income households. And it has higher incentives for low and moderate income households to switch to heat pumps and other high efficiency heating systems. Along with these standard incentives, these equity focused programs will need to be expanded to make certain that the benefits of savings and comfort are accessible by all in Maine. Next slide. Improving the efficiency of new buildings and weatherizing existing buildings carry many of the same benefits as electrification. The lifetime heating cost savings outweigh the upfront costs of building to tighter building codes or for weatherizing in an existing home, even when you exclude the weatherization incentive. The carbon reductions are very high and home comfort is greatly improved. Weatherization additionally carries a benefit cost ratio greater than one and already has an incentive program in place. The challenge is that there are more than 500,000 homes and apartment units in Maine and less than 5% of them have been weatherized. Weatherization can be messy, expensive, and labor intensive, so the carbon benefits will take a good deal of time and effort to realize. Weatherization's uphill road underscores the importance of making sure new construction meets higher standards so that we don't add to the number of buildings that need to be weatherized in the future. On the plus side, the volume of weatherization that needs to happen creates a huge demand for labor, and several working groups recommended a Maine Climate Corps or Green Jobs program to fill that kind of need. Next slide. With Maine's northern climate and old housing stock, it is not surprising that weatherization had the highest favorability among survey respondents of any building's actions. A public commenter made the important link to equity, encouraging the council to consider that low-income housing and senior housing be at the top of the priority list for new or expanded programs. Next slide. State and local governments can play a leadership role in demonstrating the benefits, especially the lifetime savings from strategies like these. While not an example of weatherization or electrification, the town of Bristol financed solar arrays at its transfer station and its consolidated school. In addition to eliminating 48 tons of carbon pollution each year, the project sparked local interest and discussion. A grassroots effort is now underway to build a community solar farm that town residents can buy into and go solar without needing solar panels on their own rooftops. A town resident even stepped up to host the project and finance the costs. Lead by example projects are important for lowering public expenses, for demonstrating feasible technologies, especially for increasing the visibility of the benefits of clean and efficient energy choices. And with that, I'll thank you for listening and turn it back to David.